Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. I'm going to give you a theory about Kevin Durant. And Hickey, you're going to be my checks and balances. You're going to tell me if you can see this theory. Because I kind of floated this out earlier, but I now want to do a further deep dive into this theory that I have. So I saw a list of teams today that Kevin Durant is interested in. And it's not surprising to me that this article comes today via Ian Begley of teams that he's heard are interested in Kevin Durant. Because KD doesn't want to be in Brooklyn anymore. Now he's blaming Sean Marks. He's blaming Joe Tsai. I do not believe that Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn because of Steve Nash and because of Sean Marks when he had his meeting with Joe Tsai. I'm just not buying of that. I don't think that's the actual reason. I think there's something more to it. I believe Kevin Durant doesn't have the cojones to tell Kyrie Irving, who he loves, who's a good friend of his, that he doesn't trust him anymore, he can't rely on him, and he doesn't want to play basketball with him anymore. And I look at these destinations. You see Boston, you see the Sixers, you see the Heat, and you see the Raptors. Now, you could make a valid case, and let's just look at these two teams, the Celtics and the Sixers, that if you're Durant and you really don't want to return to Brooklyn anymore, Boston's a team that just got to the NBA Finals, you could be the missing piece. You look at the Sixers, yes, Joel Embiid, that passionate city. We know that Joel Embiid needs a finisher. That could be Kevin Durant. You were a finisher. You were a great player, the best player on two championship teams with the Golden State Warriors. But if he were to go to either Boston or Philadelphia, doesn't that even add more legs to my theory that Durant can't stand Kyrie anymore, and because of their friendship in the past, he doesn't have the guts to tell Kyrie, I just don't want to play with you anymore. Where if he goes to Boston, Kyrie hates Boston, and also in Philadelphia, he'd be going and teaming up with James Harden, who at the end, Kyrie Irving and James Harden didn't get along when they were with the Brooklyn Nets. So if he goes down the turnpike to Philadelphia, I think that's an indictment of Kyrie Irving. Because he just had James Harden in Brooklyn, and James Harden got traded to Philadelphia, and basically they would be swapping out Kyrie Irving for Joel Embiid. And then if he goes to Boston, Kyrie gives the fans the middle finger in Boston because Kyrie didn't handle his departure well. I'll be here as long as you want me, and then you bail? And now you have this animosity for Boston, which makes no sense? I think that's a little bit telling of the relationship and where we thought it was and where it actually is, that Kevin Durant is contemplating a trade to Boston or Philadelphia, and there's a lot of juice in those destinations that make it an anti Kyrie Irving move. Your thoughts there on that hot take, Icky?
I see especially both of those destinations as somewhere where Kevin Durant does not have to be the leader. He doesn't want to be a leader. He doesn't be a decision maker at all. And I think both those destinations, you can make an argument, have already a face of the franchise. Jason Tatum is not as accomplished, but he's been there longer. Now they got to a finals. I still think you would view it as Jason Tatum's team alongside Kevin Durant. And obviously we know Embiid is a cult hero in Philly. That's still his team. And Embiid is still the face of the franchise, even if Kevin Durant is there. I think for me, that is more the motivation than not only trying to ditch Kyrie, but basically giving him the double bird on the way out by going to a destination that he does not have a lot of fans with.
Well, I'm not saying that it's the only reason why Kevin Durant wants to go to Boston, or it's the only reason why he wants to go to Philadelphia to stick it to Kyrie. But if he really did value that relationship with Kyrie Irving, and even though it came to a point where he can't stand Steve Nash, he can't stand Sean Marks, you're really going to run to potentially two places if you really have that great of a relationship with Kyrie Irving, where one city he can't stand and the other he didn't like James Harden. You'd basically be replacing him by going there and then leaving him on the outside. That's a tough pill to swallow if either of those teams land Kevin Durant for Kyrie Irving.
Let's say if you are right and he's trying to run, like he wants to still be friends with Kyrie, but trying to run away from him. Well, if you're Kyrie,
I wouldn't want to be friends with him anymore.
Right. Even if you say, oh, you know, I just got to get out. It's not you. It's the team. I got to, you know, the Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, Steve Nash. I can't do it. I got to go. Well, there's a chance that the Nets could hold on to Kyrie and it's just Kyrie and no one else. And wouldn't, if you're Kyrie, wouldn't you be pissed that Kevin Durant just kind of left you high and dry?
You would think so, but I don't know how to get inside of the brain of Kyrie Irving. I really don't. I don't know what makes that guy happy. I don't know what that guy wants. And the only thing that I know that he wants is he just says he wants to play basketball without any of the distractions, without any of the responsibilities that come with being a star and the reason why you have this absurd salary that you do. I'm not saying you're not deserving of it. You're a great player when you want to be. You're a top 10 player in the sport. And as a actual basketball player, I have a lot of respect for Kyrie Irving. But Kyrie Irving, he really does this to himself. And it's the same thing with Durant. Now, you said something that I just want to latch on to. You don't think Kevin Durant wants to be the decision maker anymore. How can we even sit here and say that? Because trying to figure out what KD wants, he didn't want to. He wanted to go be the guy and leave Golden State. Now you're telling me he still wants to be the best player on the court, but he doesn't want the responsibilities that come with being the best player on the court when all this guy did for the last 3 years was get everything that he wanted. Everything that he wanted. You wanted Kenny Atkinson gone, fired. You wanted Steve Nash in, you got him. You wanted Caris LeVert and then also Spencer Dinwiddie gone so you could go get James Harden, it happened. What didn't Kevin Durant get the last few years? And now, because it didn't work for 1 year? Because a year ago, people were praising the direction of the Nets. So then a year later, since it didn't go your way, now you want to run from being the decision maker? I don't agree with that. I don't think Kevin Durant could check his ego at the door for a sustained amount of time and a long period of time where he doesn't get whatever he wants.
Well, then why destination-wise, like if he wanted to be, you know, basically run it back with a new team, he could plenty of destinations where he could go and he'd be go to the Pacers.
They yeah,
give
but,
up
but
the
here's
farm
the thing.
And you are the guy.
The Pacers don't have the return in what the Nets are looking for. It has to be two things.
Well,
It's a team that Durant wants to go to, and you have to have tangible pieces that the Nets would at least get on the phone and have that conversation. Philadelphia, you have picks. You got Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle potentially, if that's of interest. You could also maybe throw in Tobias Harris in that deal. I'm not saying those are the greatest options in the world, but at least they're pieces. Boston has Jaylen Brown. I don't know if you could do much better than Jaylen Brown in any of these deals. If it's Toronto, you have Scottie Barnes. If it's Golden State, you have an abundance of young players, whether it's Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, Poole, Wiggins. You got so many pieces. So the Nets need to get something significant back, or as they showed you already, if the Raptors don't want to include Scottie Barnes in this deal, then you're not getting Kevin Durant.
Right, but any team outside of Toronto, we're not even sure if Toronto's a true destination that, let's say, KD wants to go to, put that in air quotes.
No, let's be real. We don't know what Kevin Durant wants because the guy doesn't speak about this.
Very true. But according to reports, at least all the teams he wants to go to are teams that have star players there, are organizations that have a culture built where he could just go play basketball. Like, he's not going to Philly and saying this, and this is going to happen. It's going to be Embiid's team. He's not going to Miami and telling Pat Riley, hey, I want this, and this. He's going to, you know, the place that he wants to go to are places where he is going to play basketball. He could be the number one option on the court, but he's not going to have to be the guy calling the shots like he was in Brooklyn. If he wanted that, there's plenty of other destinations he could choose, and he's outwardly not wanting to go to those places.
Miami, I would say you're right, because we've seen Pat Riley go toe-to-toe with LeBron when he refused to fire Eric Spoelstra. That's a different culture. In Philadelphia, I know that's Embiid's team. I know that's Embiid's city. I've lived in that city. I've covered that team. You go bring in Kevin Durant, he gets tagged as the savior. Even look at when James Harden was brought in. You saw the excitement from Philadelphia fans, even then when you all knew from a rational decision and a rational line of thought that James Harden's not a finisher. It was a move that just because of his stardom and him being MVP in this league, Philly fans were like, yeah, way to go, Daryl Morey. We finally got rid of Ben Simmons. And there was some pressure on James Harden. Look how quickly that narrative did turn come postseason time when either Embiid got hurt or James Harden just wouldn't show up in the big spot. Durant goes there. He's the guy. He's the man. I know it's Embiid. I get that he's the face of that franchise. He's established. He's been there. But it's clear, unless if Joel Embiid gets someone that could finish in the fourth quarter in the final 2 minutes of games, which Durant can do, Joel Embiid's not going to win a championship in this league. So, with that being said, if Durant goes to Philly, it would be godlike. Like, I'm just giving you the way that the fans react there and their mindset. They will love KD, but you got to then go win. And I don't know if Durant could handle Philadelphia. I really don't. This is a guy, and let's be, I know everyone says, oh, it's the big bad New York media. You don't have an introductory press conference in Philadelphia? Whew, those Philly fans are going to go crazy. And Brooklyn never had an introductory press conference. If Durant had some of these antics in Philadelphia, you have an established fan base. The Nets don't have an established fan base. You know, their media is not as big as when we look at other New York teams, too, that cover the team. So I think it's a little bit different if you go to Philadelphia if you're Durant. You're going to be looked at as the missing piece to a championship, and you better go deliver there. And for Durant, this is a pivotal part in his career. Because you would say that Durant's a top 15 player of all time, right?
Yes.
His talent is undeniable.
100%.
But the narrative around him, fair or not, if he doesn't go win another championship, it's going to be what Charles Barkley said. And I know he can't stand what Charles Barkley said. Some guys are bus drivers, some guys are bus riders. Now, the Golden State Warriors internally must have thought that he was a bus driver with the way that he played, but the national perception was that he was a bus rider in Golden State. And then he leaves Golden State, goes to Brooklyn, and the first 3 years, this has been a disaster because he hasn't won a championship. Now, you could make the case from a basketball standpoint, sure, Boston, Philadelphia, missing piece. Go win a championship. But when I look at this, I do think first and foremost, the reason why he wants out of Brooklyn, no matter what facade he puts up, is that he doesn't trust Kyrie Irving anymore. And the way I guess I should better phrase this is just more salt in the wound and revealing that more publicly. When, yes, you can make the case and you could put on the front, oh, Boston and Philadelphia, those are the two spots. It gives you a better chance to win in Brooklyn and if you want to leave and you like the roster, blah, 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 blah. I think it's also a little bit of a hidden message and fits in with this message of him not having the guts to tell Kyrie that he doesn't trust him anymore. And then you go to arguably two of his biggest enemies in the last 2 years, Boston and then James Harden, when they didn't get along at the end in Brooklyn. That's a message that I think is getting shown a little bit here by Kevin Durant. Ultimately, October rolls around. KD on the Brooklyn Nets? Because I think so. You?
I'm with you. I think so.
Now, where's his level of buy-in, though? Is he saying, oh, I got a leg injury. Oh, I got a back injury. I'm not going to play tonight. I'm annoyed I didn't get traded. Do we get a highly motivated Durant? Because this guy's legacy is on the line. He's a great player, an all-time great player. But the way that you're remembered is very telling. And that's why if I'm the Nets, I tell this guy, you're under contract. You just signed an extension. You didn't hate Sean Marks last year. You didn't hate Steve Nash last year. This isn't salvageable. That's what I would say to Josiah. Don't play basketball this year. We're not trading you. Unless if we get just a king's ransom back for you. And so far, no one's come close. No one's even come a quarter of the way where we even consider it. That's what I would tell Kevin Durant if I'm Josiah.
I don't think he'll sit out games. I think he'll play.
He's a hooper, right?
Yes, that's it.
Now, Kyrie Irving also says he's a hooper, and he misses a bunch of games. Wow. Mandate or not.
Do you think if this whole Kevin Durant trade request and ultimatum never happened, do you think the Nets would have traded Kyrie this offseason?
I don't think he's tradable right now.
That's what I'm curious about.
Unless if it's to the Lakers.
And he's 1 year
unless
left.
It's
like,
the
if
Lakers.
You're Kevin Durant, and let's just say you're right, his main motivation for leaving is not the Nets, it's Kyrie. You really couldn't wait out 1 year? And there's a chance that he could have gotten traded anyway to the Lakers this offseason? Because the Nets clearly do not trust Kyrie and aren't bought in.
But Durant also knows he's never playing with Russell Westbrook again. And that's the only way a Kyrie deal gets traded, goes down, is if Russell Westbrook's in that deal.
So you really can't play one more year with Kyrie? And then, like, if he's...
Logically?
Yes.
I would say yes. And trying to get into Kevin Durant's mind?
Keyword.
That's the only thing I keep on going back to. I don't know about you. Do you buy that he hates Sean Marks and Steve Nash?
No.
I don't buy it either.
He picked both.
So then what else is it? He can't trust Kyrie. And doesn't that logically make sense that he can't trust Kyrie anymore? I don't think the mandate's coming back, but that was an issue last year. Injuries just alone, even if there's no mandate. Him going to 9,000 birthday parties and going missing. It's all that stuff. How can you trust Kyrie Irving? Guy's a great talent. Great talent. But I can't trust him. I don't know when he's going to show up. I don't know where he's going to be. Can you make any argument right now if you're Kevin Durant other than just talent on how you could trust Kyrie Irving?
No.
And I think that drives Kevin Durant to a point where he's just so frustrated, or not even frustrated, embarrassed, because he trusted Kyrie. He believed in Kyrie. When there was a narrative being formed about Kyrie with life after Cleveland and then the way that it ended in Boston, there were signs. But to get back to what you were saying, I don't buy that Durant, for more than a year, is going to be fine and A-OK unless it's Miami. Because that's a little bit different. That he's not going to be the number one guy. That he's not going to be the judge, jury, and executioner. But so far, him being the judge, jury, and executioner in Brooklyn, yikes. Just has been devastating to his legacy. It really has been. Still top 15 player of all time. But his decision-making in the last year has been just horrendous. And to blame it on Steve Nash, who you picked... And Sean Marks, who you praised and just signed an extension with last year, comical. I don't know about you, Ryan. I've lost a lot of respect for Kevin Durant. And I love watching him play basketball. But the way that he's handled this year, it's brutal. And it just looks so weak and so gutless that now Kevin Durant is going to say, GM, I hate the coach. Stop it. That's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm about to do something that I usually don't do, and that is have an abundance of confidence in my baseball team, the New York Mets. In years past, 50 games left in the season, if they had a 7.5-game lead, I would be nervous. I would be a nervous Nelly. I would be shaken. I would be just expecting the worst and anticipating the collapse. But because of one man, and that's no disrespect to Edwin Diaz, the trumpets, it's no disrespect to him. He's been great. Mad Max, he's been unbelievable. DeGrom's back. Got to see him strike out 12 batters on Sunday. Going up against the Fightins, the Phillies, coming up on Saturday. Francisco Lindor, it's no disrespect to him. Pete Alonso, having an MVP-type season, even though it's probably going to be Goldschmidt winning the award. No disrespect to him. But the reason why I'm so confident in this baseball team, it goes against everything people tell me about baseball now. You need a young manager. You need a manager that's analytically driven. You need a manager that's basically just going to be a shill to the front office. Everything I just said is the exact opposite of the guy that I have the most confidence in. And that's Buck Showalter, who's 66 years young. Buck Showalter just has a confidence about him and an aura about him in the dugout. This guy brought a winning mentality, a professional mentality, and respect to the Mets organization. And those players loved their manager in Buck Showalter. Even when the Mets had a 10-game lead and then it went down to like 2 or 1.5, whatever it was, I never wavered. I know the Braves are a great team. Not just a good team, a great team. And they've been rolling and they got off to a slow start this year. But what the Mets did to the Braves, taking 4 out of 5 last weekend, extremely telling. And now they welcome in the Phillies. They beat up on the bad teams like they did with the Reds. That's what good teams do. They play well against the good teams and they beat up on the bad teams. But there is 50 games left in this season. And I think the Mets are definitely winning this division. Hickey, it is weird because I know you could relate as a Met fan. This is a very good baseball team. We'll see if they're going to be great. But I would be stunned if they're not a top 2 seed in the NL and the Mets aren't an NL East champion 50 games from now. This team is winning the division.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm trying to tell you all year, this team is good.
Welcome.
This team is good. There is reason
like you're
to
welcoming
believe
me
this
into
is
the
not
heavens right
a
now.
Fluke.
It's not a fluke.
This team is legit. Pitching, bullpen, hitting, fielding, base running, they do it all.
You know where I'm also getting bizarrely confident? And I'm not going all in on this part of the team yet. I love Edwin Diaz, which I never thought I would ever say those words on a national radio program when the first 2 years of his career went. And it's so impressive how he had the mental toughness to bounce back in a New York media market with what he did the first 2 years. The rest of the bullpen, I know they got Michael Givens at the deadline. I was expecting more. It's still a concern of mine that they didn't adjust the bullpen at the deadline. But you're going to have a starter or two, because this rotation has been so lights out, eventually transition into the bullpen. And that's going to be a plus, or should be a plus. You also now have Trevor May back from injury. We'll see what he could do. Seth Lugo is starting to turn around a little bit. I just look at this bullpen. Everyone's saying, wow, the Mets messed up at the deadline. Billy Epler messed up at the deadline. Doesn't that motivation have to account for something? And doesn't that motivation have to turn into something where these guys that we were wishy-washy on in the bullpen, Ryan, are now in some weird way going to step up and deliver when it's least expected?
I am still holding my breath of the bullpen.
Joely Rodriguez got 7 outs over the weekend.
I don't know how.
In one game.
He stinks. I was shocked. I will say, I will be completely honest with you. I love Buck Showalter. I was cursing at him on Sunday when he's bringing him out there
options.
Again and again and again. I'm like, enough, please. You're going to get too lucky.
But it worked. It did work. And that's been this year. Any moment where you thought the Mets ship was about to crumble, they find a way to suck you back in and make you say, okay, this is a really good team. They're going to win the division. And it's not even close. In the National League, Buck Showalter's the manager of the year. And we all know Buck has been well-respected for a while. He's a 3-time AL Manager of the Year, hasn't won a World Series as a manager. We all know the respect that people have in baseball. But all people tell me now is, oh, the manager position doesn't matter. It's basically the front office managing the team. Buck's too old. Okay, you know, why are they bringing him in? After Mickey Callaway and Luis Rojas, just bringing in someone that actually doesn't bring all this drama. We know Mickey much more so than Luis Rojas. Luis Rojas was just not ready for the moment. But having a stable manager, it's like going from the outhouse to the penthouse. And we haven't even got to October yet. We're not even in September yet. We're only 10 days into stinking August. I love this Buck Showalter story. Now watch. Probably Marco's going to rain on our parade or something. Mets going to win this division here?
Yeah.
7.5, it's over.
Yes.
No choke in the final 50 games.
No chance. Team's too good.
See, that's the thing. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe you can help me here when it comes to baseball, because you've had a very good team for a very long time. Your issues now are, okay, you guys have gone through a bad, like, 15, 20-game stretch. You're still 71-41. How do I deal with this? I've never been this confident in a Mets baseball team.
Confidence is not something that I do with well. So I'm the bad person to ask on that one. The only thing I could say is enjoy it. There was only one time in my life that the entire season, it was just kind of, it was a fairy tale and you just enjoy every part of it because you just knew that there was no chance that the other shoe was dropping. That don't happen once. So it's a rare feeling. Enjoy it. Enjoy every day, because come October, when everything gets wiped clean, you're not going to feel as good as you do right now.
Well, yeah, because then the margin for error is razor thin, and
it's
that's
when different.
I'm going to start cursing the bullpen out.
Yeah, it's just
like
different because every little thing is magnified, you know, 100-fold. But this team is that good, and they're built to win in October.
And the other thing is, Hickey is, you notice how nuts he is, right? He's like clapping his hands, going nuts.
I've watched. Yeah. There's a couple times that walking by, I thought he was having a stroke back there. I didn't know what was going on.
You worry for his health, his mental sanity. But I will say, it seems like now, just with the way the game is, come October baseball, I'm not saying starters are irrelevant because that would just be a dumb statement, but you kind of just say, okay, get my starter to the fifth inning, and then you play all these matchups with the bullpens, even with the rule changes and all that. I think the Mets just have a totally different approach where DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, these guys, and I know DeGrom and Scherzer are just great and unbelievable and some of the better pitchers in the game, but the moment they hit trouble, Buck's not going to pull these guys in the fourth inning or the fifth inning. He's going to ride these guys, and he's going to let them go 7-8 innings. And for Scherzer and DeGrom, maybe in an ideal world, it's not going to happen every start. You get to the eighth, and then Diaz gets a ball in the ninth.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously idealistic, but Scherzer is the guy, to me, that's the workhorse. That's the automatic for the Mets. That DeGrom coming back is what puts them in the position to actually win a title.
Yeah.
Not just be a contender, not just win the division, not just make some noise. DeGrom being there with that 1-2 punch is different than anybody else has. The Astros have Verlander. They got really good pitching. It's good depth. No one's backing him up like Gerrit Cole used to back in the day. So that 1-2 punch, it separates them from everybody else. And it allows Buck to be able to play the matchups, to have Diaz. Maybe it's a 4-out save and you don't have to have a bridge.
Well, that's another
maybe
good point.
It's one guy that can get to Diaz and that's it, which changes everything. Everybody else is trying to mix and match come the fifth and sixth inning. Buck doesn't have to worry about that for two games, you know, every couple of days, whatever it is with DeGrom and Scherzer. So that's a difference that the Mets have. And it also takes away the one, I guess, bugaboo that they have is they don't have a quality depth in that bullpen to get to Diaz. Well, they don't really need it for a couple of the games in the series when you got DeGrom and Scherzer. So it takes away the little bit that they have that's a, you know, a problem. It gets eroded quickly.
And I'm also going back all these years now. When they last got to the World Series in 2015, even in that elimination game against the Dodgers in that Game 5 where DeGrom, Terry Collins said it best, he didn't have his best stuff, but the guy's a pitcher. and he was still able to find a way to muscle through that game and still give you better than what most guys have in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they're both quality. They've both been tested. They've both been through the gauntlet. I mean, Scherzer's a champion. DeGrom has been there. DeGrom's ridiculous. What he's able to do, it's just a question of, can he still pitch in October? Yeah. It's a simple fact. I mean, it's, look, if he's there,
can
we've seen
it. Can his body just hold up?
Yeah, we've seen
That's
it.
That's what it is.
We've seen it. Every time the guy goes out there, he dominates. It's not that he's good. He dominates. So it's just a question of, is he healthy? Because if he's healthy with Scherzer backing that up, again, the Mets don't have a lot of holes. And their lineup, as much as everybody wants to say, oh, well, they needed a thumper here, or they need a better catcher.
Lineup's fine.
The lineup is not only fine, it's good, and it's also, it's predicated on the guy in front of it. There's not a lot of lineups that are deep 1-9. The Mets have an ability to get to you in a bunch of different ways. They got guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, yes, but they have guys that just know how to get on base and grind at bats, and even if they don't get on, they just made your pitcher throw 12 pitches. This Met team is built to win in October, and it's been a really long time since anyone's heard that. I'm not looking at Hickey. I don't want to see him out of the corner of my eye because I'm sure he's going nuts
he's
right now.
He's doing the worm.
But he's right.
He's on all fours.
He's absolutely right. This team is built, and if they don't get there, they don't get to a World Series, to me, it's a major disappointment. And if they don't win this thing with this team, it's going to be a disappointment because they have all the ingredients to come out with a title.
The AL and the NL resembles a lot this year, like the AFC and the NFC. In the AL, it's really only two teams. I know the Yankees are struggling a little bit right now, but I would still be surprised if it's not the Yankees and the Astros in the ALCS. In the NL, you have the Mets that are strong. The Braves are still a force. The Cardinals are now playing red hot. The Dodgers, the Padres, we'll see what happens eventually right. When Tatis Jr. comes back. I know Soto hit the home run the other day. It's that... Trying to pick who's coming out of the NL out of the World Series, it's going to be tough. Nothing would surprise me in the NL. If we don't get the Yankees or the Astros, I'd be surprised.
Agreed. But in the National League, the one thing, though, that this new format does, it changes everything because it's not as simple as, well, I just get there and then my talent will take over. No. The Mets and the Dodgers, who are going to be the one and the two seeds, are going to have a major advantage over anybody else that's coming out of it. So even if the Padres or the Braves or the Cardinals or whatever it is, any of those teams get hot, the fact that they're going to have to go through the gauntlet before they face one of those teams, and those teams are going to be rested and waiting, and they're going to have DeGrom and Scherzer sitting mm-hmm. there, or the Dodgers' entire pitching staff, or whether it's Urias or Gonsolin, everybody, there's too much that's stacked against the Padres, the Braves, everybody else. It's the Mets and the Dodgers.
The only thing that I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a second. We've seen before, and I know it's throughout an entire postseason, a team sweep a team in the league championship series, and then it just doesn't carry over in the World Series because you get a long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if from the wild card round, this new wild card round, which is not just one game and you're done, it's a best of three series, and it's all at one the better team's home ballpark. I just wonder if momentum in that slight little stretch, even though it does give the rest to the Dodgers and the Mets and the better teams, if it impacts the series in game one and two, and then after game two, it just tumbles out of control. That's just one thing I look for.
I'm a big believer in momentum in baseball, as much as you say, oh, it's the next day starting pitcher. Some of that's nonsense. It's confidence because they're human beings mm-hmm. and it gets in their head. But to me, that's game one. After game one, that kind of goes yeah. away. And to me, the Dodgers and the Mets are too stacked when you've got that pitching staff that even if their lineup is a little bit cold, if you will, the other team's got riding a little bit of momentum. They're riding momentum yeah. with their fourth and fifth starter, with their bullpen that's already been through the gauntlet for 3 days. You would assume going up against, again, DeGrom and Scherzer. It's an equalizer. It changes everything.
And also, you have some unknowns with the Dodgers, too. Like, what is Dustin May going to be when he comes back? He could be a huge force for them in their bullpen. Walker Buehler coming back off injuries, too.
It's wild. It really is. I mean, because the Dodgers, look, they're facing teams in that division that are good. The Padres are flat out good. What are they, 16 back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nonsense what the Dodgers have been able to do. So the idea that facing any one of those teams, again, coming in with their fourth and fifth and, you know, trying to figure things out, going up against that Dodger team that's just flat out stacked, and their lineup 1-9. I mean, I know he's struggling at times in the last couple of years has been tough. Cody Bellinger matches ninth.
Yeah.
And he gets days off left to right. It doesn't matter. Like, they just find guys off the street, it feels like, and they were able to put together runs in bunches. They got pitching through the eyeballs. Whether these guys come back, they're going to wind up being long men. It's nuts.
And Robot Ravage even said the other night when they were on Sunday Night Baseball, when Bellinger hit that home run, like, if he gets hot, like, look
it's
at
insanity.
What they
really
do.
It's insanity. There's just too much depth with the Dodgers for me to be able to think that momentum is going to be the thing that gets them. No, if they play poorly, sure, but that's any team at any spot. It's not momentum that's going to get them. And again, momentum is not going to be able to hit DeGrom when he's throwing 104, and it's not going to be able to hit Scherzer in game two when that guy has. His entire life is built on sticking it up your rear end. So, like, I find it difficult to believe that any momentum is going to be what gets these teams.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hot Take Hickey, also Marco Belletti, hanging out on this Wednesday edition of our fine radio program. When we come on back, we tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hickey, it's good to be back on my home turf. I always appreciate when I get to fill in on CBS Sports Network on the Maggie and Perloff show, but it's good to be back home in this time slot from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 7 p.m. Pacific. So let me say these words right now. Ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Give me some Jamal Williams last night of the Lions on Hard Knocks.
Well, I let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Now, at best, the Lions are going to be a 6 or 7 win team. But I may make that my ringtone on my phone. That was effing awesome, Hickey. That was so passionate. If I ever have a bad day or you're ever down in the dumps, you play that. That just motivates you what you hear from Jamal Williams. That was awesome.
If you're ever feeling tired, there's no excuse now. Think of the record.
So can I start yelling at you like that when I think you're giving a minimum effort?
Sure, only if I can do it back.
Oh.
Zach, wake up! Think of last year's show. That's what motivates me every year.
What was wrong with last year's show?
Nothing.
I don't think we were like the 3-win Lions last year. We were ranked the 24th national show in the country. All right, it wasn't in the top 10, but I take 24.
Think of 24. Keep you motivated to get to top 15 next year. Think of that number.
With how many shows are out there in the country? I think 24. Give a stock up to Jamal Williams. Buck Showalter. We already slobbered over him in the last segment. He's going to be the NL Manager of the Year. 66 years young. Kicking ass, taking names, and bringing confidence to our New York Mets. Stock up to Buck Showalter. Padres won today against the Giants. They also won yesterday against the Giants. And in yesterday's game, Juan Soto hit his first home run as a member of the Slam Diego Padres. Here is Don Arcillo.
And a high fly ball to deep right field. Juan Soto has left the yard. First time in a Padres uniform. The Soto shuffle will make his way all the way around to tie the score 1-1. Welcome to San Diego, Juan Soto.
The Soto shuffle. That's good. Stock up, Juan Soto, Don Rosso. Let's hear Albert Breer. He was on the Jim Rome show with Maggie and Perloff earlier today talking about maybe some concern with the Patriots offense.
I think so. The staff on one side of the ball is cobbled together, and you've got, you know, guys calling the shots who really don't have experience not only doing it, but even on that side of the ball. And this is a critical point for your young quarterback. But that learning curve is steep. It's a lot to ask, and I think it's a tough thing to voice on your young quarterback, too, is to have not only the learning curve for him there, but the learning curve for some of his coaches there.
I very rarely doubt Bill Belichick. I think you've been a fool if you been recently or in the last 20 years doubting Bill Belichick. Because usually when you doubt him, it's in Bill we trust and he proves you wrong. I think the Patriots offense will be fine this year. I just don't get why they can't announce an offensive coordinator, and it's probably going to be Matt Patricia. Why is it going to be Matt Patricia? So this thought, and it's not only a thought anymore, it's more likely the reality that Matt Patricia's calling the plays come game one against the Dolphins. Ugh. Stock down to the guy that wears that pencil resting on his ear. Kevin Durant. You know how sometimes in life people just wear you down? That's what Kevin Durant has done to me. I have no more passion for this topic. He has taken all the fun out of talking about Kevin Durant. Because he should have never left Golden State. Then he goes to Brooklyn, and now he's coming up with this BS how he doesn't like Steve Nash and Sean Marks. Stop it. Stop it. Just be honest, KD. Do a transparent interview. Tell us what's really up. I don't buy that you can't stand Marks and Nash right now. And now we're talking about the Celtics, the Heat, the Sixers. It's ridiculous. You just signed the contract. Did so many things really go that wrong in a year? I'm not buying it. I don't think you trust Kyrie Irving anymore, which I don't blame you for, but just be honest about it. Stock down, Kevin Durant. Let's hear Keith Hernandez on SNY last night saying how he does not like to call Philly games and ask SNY management to not put him on Philly's games.
I missed both Philly series. I have to go this weekend to St. Louis for the 40th anniversary of 82. I'll join you in Atlanta.
And then I what's your excuse the following weekend?
It's a scheduled off series. And you know, I've expressed to the front office, not the Met front office, our front office of SNY, that I hate doing Philly games. So I guess they gave me the series off.
You hate doing Philly games?
Oh, because they've always never seemed to. Up and in fastball. They never seem to disappoint. I mean, over the years, now they're hot right now. I would like to see them. But, you know, as far as fundamentally and defensively, the Phillies have always been just, you know, not up to it.
Maybe we can shoehorn you into the schedule now that they're playing well and maybe up to your standards.
Well, we'll see. Don't hold your breath. I'll watch on TV.
Phillies, by the way, just beat the Marlins 4-3. They have 62 wins on the year. They're playing a lot better recently. But come on, Keith Hernandez. I love Keith. That would be as if I said, I don't really like talking about Kevin Durant, so I'm going to request the management to not schedule me on every Tuesday when Kevin Durant could potentially be a topic of conversation. Got to go call the games, Keith. Can't just be skipping every time the Phillies come into town or you have to go to Philadelphia. Stock down, Keith Hernandez. That probably annoys you that I just gave a stock down to Keith Hernandez. Hot take, Iggy, right?
I love that quote. And it sent Philly ablaze, which is even better.
Fun show today. Big thanks to the JPs. JP Finley, JP Shadrick doing a little first and goal, Jaguars and Commander style. And that's all the time we have today. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Give me a follow on Twitter, Instagram. Do that right now at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.